If you have your Bible, please turn with me over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. And follow along as I read, beginning at verse 11. 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 11. Now may our God and Father himself and Jesus, our Lord, direct our way to you. And may the Lord cause you to increase and abound in love for one another and for all people, just as we also do for you, so that he may establish your hearts without blame in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. Finally then, brethren, we request and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that as you received from us instruction as to how you ought to walk and please God, just as you actually do walk, that you excel still more. Let's pray together. Father, quiet our hearts here in this place, and through the ministry of your Holy Spirit, help us to see clearly what you have written and what you would have to say to us. It has never been more important that we listen to you. There are so many other voices out there calling, crying for attention to be heard. We've come this morning to hear from you. Take your word, your servant, and teach us, please. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul is so concerned about these Christians, these new believers in Thessalonica. He was there. He shared the gospel. He saw many of them make a profession of faith. But for how many of them was it genuine? Was it real? He didn't get to stay long enough. You may remember, he had to leave very quickly for the safety and security of that new little church. And he wondered. He prayed for them. He wondered, how are they doing? He was so concerned that when the missionary group was ready to leave Berea, he went on to Athens. Silas stayed in Berea to teach, and he sent Timothy back to Thessalonica. Timothy, go check on those people. Find out how they're doing. See if those professions of faith were true. How are they doing? Are they growing? Are they maturing? Are they demonstrating their faith? And Timothy catches up with the group, catches up with Silas, catches up with Paul in Corinth. And Timothy says, yes. Oh, there were some that fell away. But by and large, those were true professions of faith. And they are growing. They are maturing. Paul is going to use three words this morning about our faith and about our walk that I'm afraid all too often don't fit. He's going to use the word increase. He's going to use the word establish. He's going to use the word excel. For all too many of us, our faith, our spirituality is confined to the church. It's church speak. It's church act. It's my church way of being that sadly does not inform the rest of my life. Paul is looking forward to someday being with that church in Thessalonica again. There was trouble when he left. He wondered not only about their faith, the quality of it, the consistency of it, the maturity of it. He also wondered if he'd be welcome. Did we create too much trouble? Too much challenge for the church? And Timothy came back with a resounding no. They're praying for us just like we're praying for them, and they look forward to seeing us again. So Paul begins this last section. Now may our God and Father himself and Jesus our Lord direct our way to you. In light of all that Timothy has reported, Paul knows he can continue to pray for the opportunity to see them again. He mentions the Father who designed this beautiful plan of salvation. Jesus, our Lord, the God-man, whose finished work, death, burial, resurrection, makes salvation possible. Because of his grace, we can respond by faith to that finished work and know the forgiveness of sin. Paul is praying that the one who started this great work in them would eventually lead him back to them. But in the meantime, before then, until then, verse 12, and may the Lord cause you to increase and abound in love for one another and for all people, just as we also do for you. There's that first word, increase. Salvation is not a static relationship with God or with one another. It's a relationship that should grow, should intensify, should become more and more intimate as we understand more of who He is and how He would have us to live, especially in our relationship with one another, with other believers, and then with those around us beyond that. And the attitude, the action, the choice that is to permeate every relationship, love. So he says, may the Lord cause you to increase. It's not static. It's not just enough to say, I love you. That's true in every relationship, isn't it? Whether it's our relationship with God, I love you. Any evidence of it? How much time do you spend with Him? How much time do you spend in His Word? How much time do you spend in prayer? Husbands and wives, it's not enough to say, I love you. There needs to be some evidence to back that up. We should be courageous enough from time to time to ask our spouse, do you know I love you? Any evidence? Have I done anything recently that says to you, I love you? You know, we might do that all the time. Think, you know, I'm acting very loving. But every once in a while, it's good to be courageous enough to say, have I done anything today that says I love you? You might be surprised what the response would be. Ashamed if it's no, and amazed that that said I love you. Wow, should be doing that a little more. And those who are loving, growing old together, whether it's whether it's consciously pursued or just automatically there, it happens. It increases. You find new ways. In fact, as you grow older, you must find new ways to say, I love you. And so Paul's desire for them, may the Lord cause you to increase and abound in love for one another. Does that sound like something that's confined just to the hour a week at church? Or for those of you who are really spiritual, who come on Wednesday night and make it 2 hours a week? No. This is something that evidently needs to inform me all of the time. I can't rest on my laurels with those whom I say I love, let alone with my Heavenly Father, my Lord and Savior, and the Holy Spirit within. Paul warns us not to grieve Him. Well, what grieves somebody more than being ignored? So, may that relationship increase. And then down here in verse 13, so that He may establish your hearts without blame in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all His saints, that He may establish your hearts. That word establish. You gardeners, farmers on a much bigger scale, what does it mean for a plant to be established? Rooted. When that seed pops, and all that we see is that germination. For that plant to be established, a lot has to go on underground. For it to be established, for it to be rooted, it needs to find water, it needs to find nourishment. And when it does, it's strong. And what we see above ground is healthy. And it will be productive. Paul says, I pray that your hearts would be established, well-rooted, strong, nourished. Your hearts. Well, again, Old Testament, New Testament, almost always, the words that are used that our Bibles translate with the word heart mean intellect, choice, decision making, not emotion. Your hearts would be established. The other word that's related is the idea of righteousness, making right choices. When you're established, when you're being nourished, when you're being watered by God's Word, and you're on this firm foundation of truth, you're being nourished and watered by absolute truth, you'll make right choices. You'll be established. And he says, without blame and holiness. And that's that idea of righteousness, truly belonging to God through His Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Pursuing perfection, we're not going to find it here, but we're pursuing it, drawing closer and closer to Christ, being like Him. Because one day we will see Him. That's what the end of verse 13 is looking forward to, at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all His saints. Paul's going to have a whole lot more to say about that in the next chapter. But just as we're approaching harvest, many of you gardeners have already, some of our gardens are just about done, but we're in the midst of all of that. Our farmers are going to be hitting it hard in the weeks ahead. Looking forward to that time when this year of growth is evaluated and the crops are taken in. We look forward to that time when we fly away, whether it's that moment we pass from this life to the next, we take our last breath here, we take the next breath with our Lord and Savior, or whether we get to be a part of that last generation that's caught up. But either way, we leave here, and the next one we see is our Savior. And for that to go really, really well, we need to have established hearts. And the more established our hearts are, the more rejoicing will take place at that time. And then finally, and truly finally, because it's the last verse for this morning, but you notice Paul's got a ways to go in this letter. But finally, chapter 4 and verse 1 then, brethren, we request and exhort you in the Lord Jesus, that as you receive from us instruction as to how you ought to walk and please God, just as you actually do walk, that you excel still more. Walk the way you live. The choices that you make. What distinguishes you? Whoever you are, whatever you do, if you claim the name of Christian, you should be doing it differently than your co-workers, your neighbors, your friends, your relatives, who do not. The fact that you are in Christ should inform every area of your life, your walk. How you behave yourself at home, how you behave yourself at work, at school, in the neighborhood, in the marketplace, wherever you go, you should find yourself regularly responding as you think Jesus would, as you think Jesus would have you respond. Whatever the situation, we should never buy into the lie that because I'm here, I don't have to act like I were there. Because I'm always His. And He tells these folks, whom He hasn't seen for months now, I hear you're doing well. What does He say? That you may excel still more. Don't stop. Don't rest. Don't assume you've arrived. Assume instead that there's always more. There's always a better way. You should have, as I do from time to time, and I don't do this very often, but you should, as I do from time to time, have the experience of thinking, I could have done that better. Or, I am so glad I did that. I'm so glad I listened to the Holy Spirit within me. I listened to what I learned today in my Bible reading. I listened and I responded. I'm so glad I did. I really wish I had. And you know, you learn something from both experiences, or you should. Because again, our goal is to excel even more, to do even better, to walk even more like Jesus walked. You must not leave here this morning thinking, I got it all down. I know exactly how Jesus would live if he were living my life, and I'm doing it. No. Instead, I'm pursuing it. I'm further than I was yesterday. I'm not as far as I will be tomorrow, because I want to get better. I want to do it better. Don't buy the lie that you've arrived, that there's no more room for growth, no reason to pursue excellence, because I am. I've gone as far as I can go. That's a lie. May the Lord cause you to increase so that he may establish your hearts, that you may excel still more. That sounds like I got a lot to do. Yes, but there is one more truth that helps. You remember Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, so that no one boasts, no one says, no one can say before God, hey, you got a great one with me. I earned it, I deserve it. You know, you were able to use me in so many different ways because I'm just wonderful. Nobody gets to say that. You might think it, but it's not true. Verse 10, Ephesians 2 and 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. When we by faith respond to the grace of God and the finished work of Christ, God starts working on us. Some of you are old enough to remember the tune, he's still working on me. Well, he's still working on me. And he's still working on you. If you're his, he's still working on you. And as somebody said, he doesn't make junk. He only makes good stuff. But he's still working. We are his workmanship. And there's nothing in that verse to suggest that he's ever done until we're done here. And as most of you know, that work, sometimes it hurts. Sometimes he gets a hold of us and takes out chunks and it hurts. But when it's all over with, we look more and more like his Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Because we are his workmanship. And don't you think, if your heavenly Father wants to see you increase, be established, and excel, that if you and I will cooperate, that's exactly what he's going to do? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for its truthfulness. Thank you for the challenge. Especially as we get older, it's so easy to think, boy, I just don't think I can do anymore. I don't think I can change anymore, add anymore, do anymore. Even if we could get over the arrogance of thinking that we know everything we need to know, sometimes we just get tired. But the truth is, as long as we're here, we're to be growing and learning, progressing, increasing, establishing, excelling, never arriving, never finished here. Thank you, Father, for the challenge, and thank you for the means to meet the challenge. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.